Welcome back to Habits Talk, where we don't give advice, but let the habits talk. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Today's episode is about pre-task anxiety. Did I say that correctly? Pre-task anxiety.
There we go.
Okay. So, a little fun fact about this topic. I don't know. Have you seen this movie called Inside Out?
No,
damn. Okay, so you're definitely not gonna get it then. So there's this movie called Inside Out. Well, I saw the second one actually, never actually saw the first one. So I saw Inside Out Part Two at the theater, and the theme of the movie really was about anxiety and the relationship between anxiety and fear. The main character, she was constantly worried about, well, not the main character, but one of her emotions. So the main character, or a lot of the characters in the movie have, because I'm not really sure about the part one of the movie, but in the part two, the main character of the movie had emotions who were characters themselves. So she had fear, anger, and the new character, anxiety. She had a couple of other characters, like sadness or something else. But the main focus was on this character called Anxiety, right? And Anxiety was always worried about the future. She was also always concerned about the future. And fear kept her worried about what she could see. And it's interesting because the idea of being worried about the future, I mean, everybody worries about the future. Let me speak for myself. I worry so much about the future and how it can be better, how I can change it.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing I was getting from that movie was how they had to bring joy. So there was a different emotion called joy. They had to bring joy back into the situation to give them an idea of understanding that all of her emotion is what makes the main character, Riley, her, right? Oh. All of these emotions make her her. Anxiety cannot always anticipate the future, you know, because doing that causes her to go into overdrive, panic attack, stress. And I mean, I thought it was such a powerful movie because, bro, this is a movie for kids, mind you. It's animated, and I'm just like,
okay, that's
I know the type of things that I got from that movie was just mind blowing. The movie made over, I think it's over a billion right now, actually.
Oh wow,
it's grossed over a billion. I'm telling you, it's a really good movie. And I thought about how the mind is such a powerful tool because, bro, the mind can come up and create different scenarios and imaginations of what the future would look like, but it's right. Never actually what the future is, because in actuality, we cannot see the future, right? We're going off of our imagination. And then I thought about that and just how really it's just anticipating anxiety. You're anticipating that anxiety in terms of what pre-task anxiety is. It's a feeling of stress or nervousness before basically starting any type of activity. And this is not limited to just job or work. It can be some, it happens before any type of tasks, right?
Right.
Like studying for an exam, preparing for a social event, or starting any project. Now, see, for me, when it comes to pre-task anxiety, it's something I feel every day before work, right? I feel it after work for the following day. I feel it during work for the next hour,
right?
I've come up with some type of mental structure that at work, the first half of the day is always the busiest, but in reality, it's not actually the case, because I'm somebody who I like to always have some type of program. I like to see patterns and things, right? And I've tried to see the pattern at my job, but I cannot, bro. Why? Because it ebbs and flows. You're dealing with humans. You know, someone can be calling for something completely unexpected at a specific time that you just would not be prepared for. You can get an email that you're just not going to be prepared for. So, like I said, I've always tried to just put some type of structure and find some type of pattern to just say, okay, so this is my busiest day or this is my busiest hour. Now, mind you, sometimes it can be that, you know, but other times it cannot be that.
Right.
You know, and I think so, what that does, oh, go ahead.
So it depends on the situation.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It depends on the situation. Depends on the day. You know, I like I said, I just don't know what's going on in the other, on the other end with the customer or with the person or with the client. You know,
right.
And well, before I go ahead, what for you? What is? Let me break it down into three questions. So, what is anxiety for you? What do you think? Or what does anticipatory anxiety mean for you, or pre-task anxiety? What does that mean for you? And do you experience it?
So pretty much what you said, it's just feeling nervous before I do something, before it has even happened. And that can happen in a lot of situations. It could be at my workplace, or before I play the piano in front of a crowd, or before I start playing a sport, or, you know, before I give a test or a presentation. Could be anything, and it kicks in. It kicks in regardless how prepared you are, regardless how, you know, how confident you feel. It just kicks in, and it starts taking its toll. But yeah, that's in a nutshell, and it's just nervousness that I feel before I do some something.
So, what do you think causes that nervousness? If you can explain more on that.
Personally, for me, I'm someone who tries to perfect things. And the drawback with that is sometimes I never start things. And I think a pre-task anxiety could kick in there. Like I would start stressing about it before I even start doing it. And because I want to do it perfectly, I have this added on stress, and that just it just doesn't let me do the work. So yeah, that's no. One example.
Like you, it's so interesting. You said like you're somebody who likes to be perfect with things, right? For me, it's discipline. I like to have a structure so that I can be consistent. Now, right. here's the issue with that. Here's the issue with that. Because I want to have a structure before I start something, sometimes I don't start it. Because I don't have a structure. I'll give you an example, right? Because today I went to the gym. Just such a random time, like after work. I didn't plan it at all, bro. Just at the moment, I just said, you know what, I'm gonna go work out. You know, I did something that I don't normally do, right? Which is just no plan, just go. Now, I saw this video, I think yesterday, and this guy was talking about, you know, trying to rewire or I think it's rewire. He said, rewire your brain or your mind on how you think. He said, once you wake up, first thing you do when you go into the bathroom, brush. If you brush your teeth with your right hand, start brushing with your left hand. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So you can be more mindful, and it'll kind of like rewire your brain or your thinking. I'm not sure I'm getting all the correct phrase of what he said, but he said, that way you start doing things that you haven't done before, and you break out of a pattern that you formed. Because I'm like, wow, that's interesting. Because like I always brush with my right hand, so it might be something to try, just, you know, start using my left hand and see where that leads. But I'm sure there were more concepts to it though than just brushing your teeth with your left hand as to what he said. But going back to, you know, me just working out spontaneously today, bro, I've had schedules upon schedules when it comes to workout regimes. I know we've talked about working out like months ago, you know, and I started, don't get me wrong, I started. Well, you know, one thing we don't anticipate when you fall, and by fall, I mean when you're not motivated. I know we spoke about motivation not too long ago, but when you're not motivated to work out and then you miss one day, the thing about me is as soon as I miss one day, I don't think I'm going to be motivated ever again. Because now I'm not in alignment with my plan, with my pattern, with my structure. So for me now, it's like, yeah, I'm not working out again.
Mm-hmm.
And such a mindset that I have that I'm just like, okay, just because you miss one day, you can pick it up tomorrow. But I'm like, no, now it's not in alignment anymore. There's no schedule, you know. It's a mess.
You broke off the pattern. Yeah.
Right. It might be some type of OCD complex, but I don't wish that on myself. But really, it's just like, I know that's how I feel. Now, that's just workout, right? And I know I've mentioned in terms of job how pre-task anxiety I always try to form that type of pattern, some type of structure, because I feel like that's important, right? But it's also important for me to also realize that things are not always going to go as planned, for one.
Mm-hmm.
It's never going to be consistent. And as much as I think I can see the future, which I can't, it's never how I imagine it in my mind.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And that was just like some of my thinking and thoughts as to like how I feel like this pre-task anxiety not just affects me, but really it's some type of habit that I've formed. And I feel like it's so easy for me to just form that habit of like, okay, now I'm going to be always anxious every day before work, because now I've gotten to that point where I'm not seeing a pattern, but I'm expecting some type of like structure or pattern, right? Mm. Like I'm not seeing it, but I still imagine it. It's still in my head. I still want to see it. So because I'm not seeing it, now the fear comes in and I'm like, what do I expect today? Am I going to be expecting a heavy, busy day? Or am I going to be expecting a light day? But I'm always expecting a busy day in my head. Because mm-hmm. I can't see a pattern. Just like when I miss one day of workout, now I'm gonna always think I'm always gonna be missing a day of workout because I've missed one day, so I'm always gonna be missing. And that's just how I feel. I feel like I'm gonna be missing days, so what's the point?
You know? Right.
But yeah, not to start off this conversation dark and gloomy. But yeah, it's like for me,
I'm silent because I'm just thinking it through. It's exactly what I go through. Same thing, word for word. Like I miss one day, and I'm just like, you know what? I'll find the perfect day when I have all my meal prep ready and everything is ready in my way for that day, and it never comes by.
Right. That is so true. Going back to the 5-second rule, bro. Like I'll tell you, this week I've been trying my best to apply that, and I saw some difference. I'm not going to lie. Now, the problem is not in seeing a difference. The problem is being consistent, because the thing about me is I'll start something and then let me not start a new topic with consistency, but I'll start something and then once I just derail for one moment, it's like I don't come back to it. Like I may come back to it a month after, but like that's not how you try to build consistency. You know,
I think it's a very important topic we need to have, because we could have all these different types of good skills, but then if you're not consistent enough, it's just practice makes it perfect, right? So if we don't follow that pattern, then yeah, it's going to be hard to get back on track. So yeah, consistency is key. It's yeah, I fall short of that, not gonna lie.
Yeah, no, that's true. But yeah, just talk more a little bit about how, pre-task anxiety, either affects your work. Could be like school. I mean,
I think
not in school anymore. But
one thing I noticed in terms of pre-task anxiety is if I'm not prepared for something, it just adds on to the pre-task anxiety, like. But then at the same time, no matter how prepared I am, it still kicks in. But then my point is the intensity of the pre-task anxiety can reduce if you are prepared enough. Like for interviews, presentations, things like that. If you have a script, like you said, if you have a plan ahead, you could always rely on that, and you can base your confidence on that. But I do understand that nervousness kicks in at the very last second, and no matter how much you prepared, mm-hmm. it could take take a toll. But lack of preparation is one thing that can contribute to pre-task anxiety. I think fear of failure, you can tie that to it.
You know what? Yeah. I literally was about to just talk about, like, I was going to ask you literally, like, do you ever feel like your lack of knowledge contributes to that idea of pre-task anxiety? But you just said it. Fear of failure is one way.
Right.
But I was thinking about lack of knowledge. That is not knowing something, which means if I don't know something, I could fail in this thing, or I can mess it up, or whatever the case may be. But I call it lack of knowledge. But go ahead. Sorry.
It's funny because I'm going to tie one more thing, adding one more to it. Past experiences.
Mm-hmm.
You would base your past experiences, which could be negative, which caused a failure, and then that can be a fear of failure, and then, you know, one thing leads to another. So it's funny, like how you said, the human brain is capable of thinking so many things at the same time, creating scenarios out of nothing. So it's crucial that you try to control the pre-task anxiety as much as you can. Which
how
are
do you
different
control yours?
How do I control mine? Mm-hmm. The only trick I have tried is time management, but that's the only one that I have tried that works, and kind of positive self-talk, preparing for myself. Visualization is a big one. I'm a huge believer in manifesting things, and my past experiences have shown me that when I've manifested something, and when I've especially written it down, and I have visualized it in my head that this is who I'm going to be. Okay, perhaps I won't reach 60 or even 50% of what I've wrote, but at least 40 to 30%, I do hit the mark. That's one. So that ties down again, positive self-talk, telling myself that I can do it and I can achieve it. And yeah, and then managing the time, breaking down huge tasks into smaller tasks and trying to achieve those small tasks and and just breathing and just generally just living in the moment. But not gonna lie, I got better at it now, like in the last 1 year, 2 year, but prior to that it was really bad. I don't know how I controlled it. I think it took the best out of me, and yeah, it really can be annoying. But I think focusing in the moment, focusing the present, and just putting your head in the moment really helps. At least for me. What about you?
How do I control my pre-task anxiety? I mean, I think my first question to myself would be, do I control my pre-task anxiety? Only just because, like I said, I'm currently dealing with one with work. Like, academically, right? I was that type of person who, even if I didn't know something, I had a skill of just bullshitting, talking smack or just talking nonsense. So I could get away with not knowing something and still, maybe not knowing something fully, but having an idea of something and being able to just talk more on what I know,
right?
Or at least try to convince the professor or whoever was listening that I do know what I'm saying,
right?
And that was, you know, when it comes to presentation and just speaking in front of people or public, it's like everyone has some level of anxiety, right?
Absolutely.
But I would say for me, how I dealt with that was really just knowing that it's normal. I don't know what it was, but it's just like I took some type of joy in it. You know, the idea of like all the emotions are supposed to be working together, meaning I had some type of joy in what I was about to do.
That's
I feel like actually that's one of the main reasons why I felt like, you know, handling pre-task anxiety with school or academics was pretty good. Now, same applies to exam and stuff, but strictly talking about presenting or talking in front of a class, I feel like just taking some type of joy in speaking to the masses or to the public or presenting was a big part of it, right? Now, mind you, in my senior design project, there were things I didn't know. Howbeit, I had to learn them just so I could be comfortable in talking or talking about our senior design project.
Mm-hmm.
Now, not to talk too much about work, but with work, there's just I've been saying it to myself since I started, but I keep saying there's just so much to learn. Yes, there is going to be so much to learn. It's a new field for me. It's a new type of exposure, but
right.
I don't even appreciate how much I've learned so far, for one, right? For two, I don't understand. Registering with me that I'm focusing on the wrong tools, right? I'm trying to grasp everything instead of learning the foundation. Foundation,
oh, that's a good one. Yeah,
you know, because if you want to kickbox or fight, you don't want to learn the basics of that sport or of that whatever the case may be, you lose all concept of it. You're not going to gain anything because you haven't learned the foundation. The basics is what's important.
Right.
That's the first thing to learn, because you build up on that. You can't you can't build up on a ground that is not firm, right? People don't build houses. Well, sometimes they do, and then it blows away. But people don't build houses on sand or just something that doesn't hold firm that house or that entire structure, you know? And like I said, in terms of academics, that's how I felt like I dealt with my pre-task anxiety, and it really worked out well. But with work, I have this sense of like, oh, this is just going to be overwhelmingly painful. It's going to be a lot, you know, and that in itself will increase my anxiety before I even start work or start doing whatever the case may be.
Now let me ask you a question. So how about if you were to play soccer?
I mean, even when I've played soccer for, like, in front of, you know, people for my high school, a little bit for Penn State when I played at Penn State, bro, it's fun. I've never felt anxious playing soccer. Why? This is something I love doing, right?
Right.
I mean... Like I said, there will be and there will always be some level of like anxiety, but the anxiety was not that, oh, this is going to be a lot, right? Or this is going to be too much for me to handle, or I don't know what I'm doing.
Right.
I feel like for me right now, when I talk about pre-task anxiety, those are the questions and those are the concerns that I have. Like, I don't know what I'm doing. This is going to be a lot. I don't want to make mistakes. I don't want to be able to not provide information that I should know.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
right?
Thinking like that leads to more questions and just more thoughts that just make me spiral into like, oh, I should know this. You know, instead of cutting myself slack, I'm just beating myself down in terms of just what I should know it or shouldn't know. And I don't think it's the right way to think, you know.
So taking the time to prepare and taking the time to manage the level of preparedness you want to be at, and at the same time controlling your emotions, do reduce pre-task anxiety somewhat.
I mean, yeah, but like also it depends on the application as well and situation, you know. Taking time to prepare, like, how do you prepare for an entire concept of theory that you've never experienced before? You know, a whole field of study you've never had. How do you prepare for questions that you don't even know will be coming at you, or you might not even have the answers to when those questions come at you, because you never had that experience or exposure to that field whatsoever?
Okay, that's a very good question, actually. I'll tie it to something else. When I started work, Exactly what you just said. It's so overwhelming. It's like so many new things, and people are talking about all these different things, and you're just standing there and trying to understand the ABCD of it. And they use all these terminologies and, department names and codes, or go see this person, they'll take care of it. And it's very vague. And the way I learned was really putting myself out there, which really sucked at the time because it really showed my weakness. But on the flip side, it helped me to really put my head straight on and actually take the damage as it comes. What helped me in the process was that prepared for me to understand how the system works in the company, or how different departments work between each other. So that tied down with the time that it took to experience all that processes and, to see it for myself and to handle all those processes by myself, helped me to reduce the pre-task anxiety, which I still experience today, but versus how it was 1 year ago. Does that make sense? So, I guess my answer to that question was, for me personally, I just went head on. It was a unfamiliar territory altogether, but the more you familiarize yourself with it, and the more you take time to familiarize and understand it, it will be beneficial for you. And I'm not saying that it will completely reduce the anxiety levels, but it'll improve with time. For me,
See,
that worked.
right. And I mean you're touching it. You said with time, right? Now, that is something that I feel like it's not easy for I feel like it's not easy for me to say, okay, in a couple months I'll probably get there. 'Cause I don't feel like you can put a time stamp on it, but like you said, with time you make progress, which is true, but it's difficult right now in terms of the pre-task anxiety and how to handle it, just based off of where I'm at, right?
Right.
And that's why I'll ask you that question, like in terms of when you think back to when you started. Take aside the fact that, you had to just, you had to just put yourself out there. Like,
Right.
how did you, like, how did you handle, or what was your system, or your way of handling that pre-task anxiety just in that moment? That's kind of like
Oh,
what I wanted to pass on to you for a second.
that's a good question. Oh, that's a good one, because I'm not gonna lie, I'm very bad at handling stress.
So, okay. Would you say you formed some type of habit during that moment?
I think the only thing that I've tried that personally worked was, genuinely living in the moment, like not thinking too much about what they're going to say or how they're going to react. I try to enjoy the conversation. I just let it flow. Like if you were to talk about an interview, for example, I try to let the person enjoy the conversation. I bring my guard down and I create an atmosphere that's comfortable for both the parties. And that in turn helps reduce my pre-task anxiety and the other person's. But that's one small example that has worked. I personally don't know if anything else has worked for me.
Okay. So, okay, what did you find difficult then? Like, what was that thing that caused your anxiety level to, I don't want to say skyrocket, but increase, just based off of like, okay, I'm anticipating this workload. This is just an example. I'm ex anticipating this workload, or
Okay.
this I don't know, maybe it's planning your day in too much detail at the start. Like, what is something that was really difficult for you that caused that increase in anxiety?
Oh, that's a big one. Planning my day too much really backfires me. I like to plan my day ahead, but then, like you said, circumstances change in a flip of a second. Someone would need me all of a sudden, and I'll have to drop everything I'm doing at that moment. And that really sucks. But then that then causes more anxiety because I have more tasks that I wanted to complete on the day and I didn't. What I try to do is I try to manage time, or I try to tweak it in a way that I can prioritize the tasks. Not trying to say that I push the tasks for the next day, but as much as I can, I try to complete what I can in the day. And then if I cannot, I just let it be, to be very honest with you. But what I try to do is I try to achieve as much as I can to the level I can in the given time, and use time in the most precious manner. Or I'll also try to split up the work. If I think someone else can help me out with something, I try to split it up with them. So then, it works cohesively. So yeah, seeking support and managing time is are probably two things that works in that moment.
Okay. Seeking support and managing time. I mean, I guess seeking support is probably something that I feel like I can definitely do better just overall. And that's not even a bad idea because that can probably help. I mean, I do that in terms of during work or at work, right? One thing about me is that I don't like being a burden towards people. So like I don't like at let me just say it the way it is. I don't like asking for help, right? So I don't like being a burden on people. So I will just like stay, like let's say there's something that's just pressing, maybe not pressing, but like something that's causing anxiety for me, for myself. And I'm just like fudge. I'm thinking too much. I'm worried. But instead of just asking a simple question to somebody who, may or may not be busy at that moment, who can probably help. I mean, don't get me wrong, I've been doing that in terms of work. Now, other than work, I feel like that's where I'm probably, slacking, because does that work life? And you can ask as much question from people, but how do you balance that with your social life, and how do you reset to re-energize and get back to work, right? Who do you seek help from outside of work before that work starts, piling up in my head, right? Who do I go to for help to help calm me down, really? Or what vices do I, employ to manage those pre-task anxiety, or what habits have I formed, to help manage those pre-task anxiety? I feel like these are questions to ask as well. I can't really provide answer because I don't do a good job of
I'm with you.
of helping myself, but yeah, these are just some of the thoughts that I was having about this topic. Are there any thoughts in general that you have about it?
Now, I know everyone advocates for to relax, breathe, and all those things, which can really calm nerves. That could also be a strategy if you know how to use it. I just personally don't know how to use it, to be very honest. Like taking deep breaths, box breathing, meditation, muscle relaxation, stretch, all those things that it's supposed to help, which does, I do believe it does, but for me mentally at the
For
moment, yeah, exactly. For me
how
mentally at the moment, what I need is comfort, and I don't get it when I do these things. So
that's why I ask for how long.
I don't, yeah, exactly. So I don't seek comfort there. But it's funny because some people have really mastered that art,
Yep, that's what I was about to say. Yep.
and
Some
it's
people who have
really
learned to get
powerful.
to that point. Yep.
Right.
Yeah, and that is so true. That's why I'm asking for how long, because at the point at which I'm at right now, I'm not even gonna lie to you. Meditation, I tried that sometimes, but like, bro, thoughts are always in my head. So like,
yeah.
I've not gotten to the point where I can say I can just eliminate thoughts, or just shut out all the thoughts, even if it's for that brief period.
No, like, that's impossible.
So yeah. Difficult. I mean, yeah. Okay, I don't think it's impossible, but I think for me right now, it's just extremely difficult, right? I understand what you mean by saying it's impossible, right? But what I'm saying is I want the impossible to become possible. I want it to get to that point where it is possible for me to just shut off those thoughts and just focus on the present, on the moment, on what I'm doing, clear the mind, bro. Mm-hmm.
That's powerful. That's powerful. That's
it's something that I aspire to get to, but you know, we'll take it one step at a time. And speaking of one step at a time, that's something again that also adds to my anxiety. One step at a time. I'm always thinking about how I can go from 0 to 100. I don't think about how I can get from 0 to 1. Like I want to take one step, but I want that one step to skip like 5 steps. And that's probably one of the major thinking or mindset that really adds to pre-task anxiety for me. Because going back to what I said about like me not knowing a whole field of study or theory, right? Me being exposed to a new field, a new study that I feel like, oh, this, if I knew this, this would help me at work with what I'm doing currently. But then I'm like, okay, as you just said, what if I just take one day to study one specific thing, right? Then next week I study something else. I learn something else. Now, mind you, I am doing that, but my mind will not let me think, or my mind would not let me stop thinking, oh, I still don't know this entire field. Meanwhile, I'm still trying to learn steps 1 and 2, but I'm trying to know the entire manuscript. I'm trying to know the entire, you know, technical manual. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I'm just like, I don't know it. And now I'm stressing.
At that point in time, bro, you're preparing. You're preparing to be where you want to be. You just started working. It's completely new to you. Which is impressive because you're practicing self compassion, and at the same time,
practicing self compassion
to some degree, I would say.
To some degree.
But at the same time, you're not also like sitting there and be like, you know what, it's fine. Who cares if I don't learn it? You're finding a good.
You know what? That is true. That is true.
You're holding yourself accountable, but at the same time, you know you have your limits because you just step foot.
That is true. Yep. Right. There are definitely people who like, they don't give a fuck.
Oh yeah. Oh no. I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah.
But so on the flip side, on the good side, it's like finding the right balance. You shouldn't be of an extreme either way. So self-awareness, self-compassion is very important to
you just look at Aaron. He just solved my problem, bro. He just solved it. Self-compassion. You know, taking a moment to appreciate and be grateful for what I do know and my effort.
Positive self-talk.
Don't forget about that topic. Right? That should be me reminding myself.
Episode 2.
Or actually, was it episode 1? Man, I forgot. Feels like a long time ago. You touched on something really important. I think self appreciation, you know, or self love, just being able to say, okay, I should actually be appreciative. I should actually appreciate the action that I'm taking towards learning the materials that I'm trying to learn, right? Because I'm not obliged to actually take out that time to do those learning.
Right.
I do my job. I work, but like I'm not obliged to it. I'm choosing to do it. Right.
Right.
there's some sense of like, oh, I want to know the entire pattern and structure in manual, just so I can have a, because going back to manual and patterns, right? Sorry, going back to like structure and how I fixate on having, you know, some type of structure or pattern before I can proceed. Bro, there was a point, right, where I was like, oh my God, there's so much I don't know, right? And then I said, I'm going to create time to create that schedule and structure to learn the things that I need to learn. So I would just let those learning in the moments, the learnings I should have been learning in those moments, I'll let them just, you know, bypass and blow away because I'm waiting for that specific time to create the structure to learn.
To learn it. Got it.
And right now, as I'm talking to you, I still have not created that structure to create the specific time.
Oh man,
bro, I'm being for real. Like, I still have not created that specific time.
This podcast is too real.
It's like, bro, I'm so serious. And I found out that it's the initial steps that I took to be like, okay, I want to learn this thing from this person. I want to learn this skill from this person. Those were the steps I decided to take instead to learn from other people instead of waiting for a specific time to plan for.
Right.
You get what I mean?
Yeah. So, yeah.
I feel like, you know, that last episode was really good. Just going back to that 5 seconds rule, bro. It's so important to just in that moment decide I'm going to do this. Because it was a thing of the moment that I just said, okay, now I'm going to learn. I'm going to ask this person to teach me how to do this thing going forward, right?
Right.
And I'm like, now every week, subconsciously, I'm learning something, right? Instead of saying, you know what, I'm going to create a specific time.
No. That was very wise of you to do that, because you and I need to realize that we just started working. It's just been 1 year. The people we work with have been there for 30, 40 years. And it's funny because I read somewhere that when you're an adult, when you're 22 years old, let's say, it's only been 2 years since you're an adult.
That's facts, yeah.
So you got to give yourself some space, because you don't have to have it all figured out in your 20s. I'm not saying you shouldn't either, but what I'm trying to say is practice self-compassion. Don't be shy to ask questions, because I was in that boat. And I didn't ask questions, and it really hurt me, because 6-7 months later, when I'm supposed to be knowing things, I'm sitting there, I'm like, what, you know what I mean? So and
it's funny, because one of my guys actually said the same thing. It was like, you know, it'll get to a point where while you're at work, you know, when you've clocked a certain number of months or maybe a year, right? Now you feel like you can't ask questions because you've been here long enough to know something that you don't know. And I'm like, that is surreal. Because I feel like I'm that type of person who, like, I want to keep asking questions if I don't know something. But then, you know, I might seem like, oh, you're sure you're worth it? You should know this.
It's a 5 second rule right there. Like, just do it. Don't think about it. Just do it.
For real. Like, but yeah. I think what I'm gonna end with on my end is just practicing self-compassion, because okay, that and also being able to act in the moment, right? Being able to act in the moment and realize that you're not going to know everything. You're not going to know anything. Not even everything. You're not going to know anything. You're not expected to, right? You're supposed to learn. And learning takes time, right? It's not something people don't learn in one day, right? Yeah, I know there's some type of video that says it takes 20 hours or something to form a skill. I mean, if that 20 hours is broken down into 5 minutes every day, then maybe. Because you need practice. It's just a reality. You need practice in anything that you're doing, you know, or that you're trying to learn. So I think that's, for me, that's my key takeaway on this one. I know it's pretty short, but honestly, I got the answer, got the sauce
already, so. Got the sauce.
So what about you though? What is your what is your takeaway from this?
I will touch base with one spiritual line and then one realistic line. Spiritual line is, fear in the mind is caused by the devil because God never wanted you to fear anything except him.
Amen.
And the second one is, the lion only attacks you when it smells fear in you.
That's a good
one. Now, it really doesn't connect with what pre-task anxiety and all of that is. But what I'm trying to say
but fear connects with pre-task anxiety. Fear,
sure. What I'm trying to say is, you have every right to feel strong. You have every right to feel confident. If God has given you a body and a soul and a spirit, use it. There's nothing to feel shy about. If you have to ask questions, ask questions. If you want to tell somebody, tell somebody. That's all part of self-compassion. It's all self-improvement in the end of the day. No one is perfect, right? We all are learning it from each other. So,
amen. You know, one question, I know it's too late, but one question I'm going to leave with you is, maybe we can revisit this next time, but how do you find joy in doing something that gives you anxiety? Like I said, you don't have to answer that right now. That's for next time.
Next.
that's a good one. That's a good question.
I need to think.
Yeah, that's a good question. Yeah, but anyways, it's been real, man. And on that note, stay liquid.
Amen.